Yeah, well, it just...
So if we just table that?
Doesn't really matter, because it wasn't any action.
Thanks.
All right, it's October 24th, 6:32 p.m. It's the Oceana Community Services District. Caroline, can I get a call to order, please?
President Guerrero.
Present.
Vice President Lucy.
Present.
Director Angelo.
Director Angelo won't be able to attend tonight.
Director Hurdle.
Here.
Director White.
Here.
All right, item number three, flag salute.
Ready?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Moving on to... actually, we need a... I think we're missing it here. We need to approve the agenda, and there are some changes before we get to item number four. Item number 11B, which is the public employee contract review, that was misagendized, so we'll put that on for the next regularly scheduled meeting, which would be November 14th.
11, which one?
11B.
Okay.
And also, I would like to pull... 9B,
okay.
And discuss it under my reports.
Okay. So 9B, which is a discussion regarding starting and attracting a farmer's market in Oceano,
yes,
will be pulled from the agenda and discussed under item 7B, which is Director Hurdle's report. I am also going to move item number 10B, which is the will serve letter for the Dacey project, and we'll put that after item 8. Before item 9, which are the public hearings. So that'll be 10B. Are there any other changes to the agenda?
Yeah, I have a couple.
Okay.
The consent agenda?
Yes.
I'd like to pull the special meeting minutes, table them for review. And I'm not quite sure how to move forward on 7A without a report.
Well, we're going to have that report on 7A. That's the OCSD operations?
Yeah, if we just had a list of what was underneath there, then you know,
okay.
We could, you know what's going to be discussed. That way I don't have to ask for, you know, something or just don't have any idea what's going to be discussed.
Anything else, Ms. Susan?
I didn't get the warrants.
I've got a warrant packet here if you'd like
I did get a packet. Is this the warrants right here? I did get numerous packets. Okay, I'll go through these.
Director White, is there any changes?
No.
All right. With the...
It's not so much as an issue as being informed and being able to follow the discussion and the reports. It's not, and that's all it is.
But I think the question...
I'm not saying pull it. I'm just saying it's hard to follow an agenda item when there's no report or anything in front of you.
So you're not adding or taking away from agenda item 7A. You're just commenting on it?
I can't take or... I don't know. It's just not... There's no... substance there, so I can't take it away, or I could take it away, but that wouldn't help anything. I'm just saying there's nothing that reflects what the report will have in it.
Right. I'll make a motion to approve the agenda as discussed and changed, modified.
Second.
All right, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Is there any opposed? It's approved 4-0. All right, we're on to public comment, item number 4. Is there any public speaker?
We have somebody at the podium.
Ms. Tacker?
Good evening, I am Julie Tacker.
I had some questions about the minutes for October 16th as well. So I don't know when those will be discussed and will I be able to have a chance to talk about that. I'm just going to jump into some agenda items. The cash disbursements, there's a $9,813 check to the South County Sanitation District, and I tried to look at the invoice and understand it, and I don't know what legal notices means. That's an awful lot of money, and I'd like an explanation for that. I did notice in your warrants that you are still paying to have your water managed away from you by a myriad of consultants and attorneys. What I didn't see on your agenda, and I'm pretty sure I heard at least one director ask for it, a quarterly review, I think is what it was called. You should have had a fourth quarter review from last year. I remember Mr. Gieslin saying that there would be a contribution to reserves. I haven't heard what that is. You're due now a first quarter for this year, so you've had no quarterly reviews. You're due too. There are no staff reports. There are no explanations about some of the items that are on your agenda. At the last couple of meetings, Mr. Gieslin has given handouts to the board members right at the beginning of each of those items. Without the benefit of the public having to have seen them maybe at a table, on the website prior to the meeting, it's kind of it's very disingenuous to the public, the way the format of these meetings are being run. There's no way to know what the agenda item is about, what the cost implications of each of these items as you read. We'll talk about them later in the agenda, but there's just no information. It's very difficult to follow along and participate, which I think that's why the public's here. They want to help you make good decisions for the community. That's it for now. Thanks.
Thank you, Ms. Tacker. Is there any other public comment this evening? Hearing none, seeing nobody rise. Item number 5, special presentations or commendations, none. We'll move on to the item number 6, which is the consent agenda. I think I jumped ahead and already did 6A, the agenda review. Are there any questions regarding the consent agenda from any of the board?
Excuse me.
I had a quick question. Tom, the liquid vision technology,
mm-hmm.
What is that?
That was your tank diving that we presented last week.
I didn't know the name of the company that did it.
And Carol Ann, this is an attachment, right? Is this an attachment to the minutes?
Yes.
This thing, okay.
What you're referring to is the letter that was sent by Ms.
No.
That
this.
Was
oh, this
she
was
sent
her
that
attachments.
With the letter. Yes,
correct.
That's correct. See, Ms. White's still reviewing the.
What threw me was the account name was Legal Notices.
We went through a when we closed the year, and I've been saying this all year long. The original setup of the Tyler system was grossly. It was just flat set up wrong.
Yeah.
And nobody has been able to make the changes because when we push back on Tyler, they say, well, it's part of the contract. And so, you know, so we have to have a very stern meeting with them. But instead of hitting them with one or twosie types things, we're hitting them with the whole list of things to go forward.
So
I now have a full year and we've got a major laundry list of all the things that are wrong on the setup, and we're going to go chase all that down.
Okay,
so
thank you.
So that's why it says that.
Yeah, thank you.
And the 761 for the rental depot, is that equipment rental?
That was the machine that we had to do the excavations in the water yard.
Right.
To move the piping and the conduits for the rebuild of the water distribution system.
And that was the small backhoe-type tractor with the
rubber
tracks on it?
Yeah, the small backhoe that the boys all want us to buy now.
Right. That was, for those who weren't there, there's a small backhoe. It's got a reach on it, and it has a shovel on it. It was probably, what, about 12 inches wide?
Right.
A scoop. And it was used to make a nice... trail, or they dug out it. They dug out a pipeline. Were able to replace it with minimal damage, and it was very small. And the yard staff wants one so that it's easy to get in and out of the alleyways without destroying bushes, trees, fences, and that kind of thing. And so, that's something that we're going to look at in the future. That was very cool.
Better than a shovel.
Better than a shovel and a pick. Okay. Yep. And I think it made a very short work of the project.
Yes, it did.
As well. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, if there's no other questions, I'll entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda. Oh, go ahead.
I move we approve the consent agenda with the exception of the October 16, 2012 special meeting minutes.
I have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries 4-0. Moving on to item number 7, reports. A, OCSD Operations General Manager Tom Giesel. Tom?
Well, first of all, I'm asking you to set a special meeting so that we can go over the Oceano Community Service District's general manager's function and address some of the issues that have popped up over the last week. And I would like it as soon as possible.
If I can weigh in there, actually, I think it... So that would be inappropriate to do at a special meeting. There's a government code section which prohibits that kind of a discussion to take place at special meetings. Just to advise the board, that would need to take place at a regular meeting.
And would that be closed session or open session?
It would be, well, it depends. I'm not quite sure clear what the general manager is asking for, what kind of review it is. If it was a performance review, it would be a closed session item.
I think the contract calls for it twice in the year. I'm trying to recall. It's been a while since I've been over.
It calls for twice in the first year.
Twice in the first year. Okay, we haven't had one since we signed that. And that was around April. Is that right, Tom?
Correct.
April, yeah.
So it's a performance review.
It is a... Well, it would be... For the contract, it's a performance review. Is that what you're asking for?
No, I'm asking to address some issues that I have with... that have popped up with... there's some very important issues that we need to address with some issues with personnel and board members going over the line with said personnel.
How large is the November 14th agenda?
I have no clue.
Mr. Chairman?
I think all we've got on the 14th agenda so far is the October 16th minutes, and then it'll be the district administrator contract review. No, they were pulled.
No, she just made a motion for the October.
Except, I said except. Yeah, honest.
So we have the contract review of the district administrator, and then we'll have the minutes. That's all we've got at this point.
Can I just want to be perfectly clear. You're saying that to do a performance review at the next meeting in closed session, correct?
That should be done. I think what the general manager is talking about is something slightly different. I'm not sure that that is appropriate for a board meeting either. I think that maybe I might be wrong, but if it's a question about policies and procedures, that might be a better item to be directed at me. I'm not quite sure what is being asked for, but if it's about board member staff relations, I'm not sure that that's an appropriate thing to put as a special meeting item.
Perhaps you could speak with Mr. Gieslin and figure out what it is we're trying to accomplish and whether or not that can be a special meeting or whether or not we have to do it at a regular meeting.
I think that would probably be more appropriate.
Would that be okay, Tom? We talk to Chase tomorrow. And
my issue is that if I have a problem that's as severe, I would like to address it in front of all five board members at one time, and therefore I can take the input and the direction accordingly. If I do it with one or I do it with two, it doesn't satisfy the issue.
Is this something that can be raised in the performance review?
Yeah, I think it should be.
Yeah, I think we can probably do it in the performance review to take place when the board approves.
Okay. So be put on the agenda for the next meeting.
A performance review.
Yes. Whatever we need to do, could it be put on the next meeting?
My only issue is I'm not comfortable waiting the 17, 18 days to let this go that far. That's why I request a special meeting.
It's just not, it isn't appropriate for a special meeting. I don't advise it.
Legal counsel, may I suggest that maybe the severity or the complaint be put in writing and forwarded on to the president, and then in that time, you know, the president and you and staff can see how far it needs to go. But it's hard to determine things when it's not in writing.
Well, I would still recommend that the general manager and I meet and discuss that issue, and then we can bring it up later if need be. That's my advice.
Okay. My suggestion is you guys meet tomorrow and figure out if this fits within a special meeting so that Mr. Gieslin's concerns can be addressed. And if so, then we can set it if you guys determine that it is. But I know that there's some prohibition sometimes on special meetings. And so
that's fine with me.
If Tom's comfortable with talking to Chase in the morning.
I have no report.
Okay. Moving on to item 7B, Board of Directors and Outside Committees. Director Angelo is not here. The next one would be Director Hurdle.
Yes. I attended the Five Cities Fire Authority meeting on the 19th. And we do have a signed memorandum of understanding, and the bottom line to it is with this new contract we're saving a total of $99,000. The agreements that we came to reach this savings are the employees have agreed to pay 3% towards their retirement, which equals $48,000. They've agreed to 1 year deferral of uniform allowances, which comes to $17,000. 1 year deferment of annual physicals, which comes to $7,000, and a change in the overtime calculations, which totals $27,000. In addition, for the year of 11-12, the OCSC contributions were $737,480. And for 12-13, fiscal year, it will be $709,520, which is a savings of $27,960. These were great concessions that were made by Local 4403. It is a year MOU. We will be revisiting this again in a year, but both sides are very happy with this agreement. Also, business that we took care of, the consultant firm MBS has obtained all the parcels data that we need for collecting information if we're going to move forward on the assessment or benefits levy. And they've identified 15,267 parcels within our jurisdiction, and up to 700 of those parcels are vacant, which we will not be able to tax.
So what was that first number? I'm sorry.
Which first one?
On how many parcels?
15,267.
Okay.
And 700 of them are vacant, so we won't be able to use them.
Thank you.
And they've already established a database for that, and we'll be getting more information on that in December. And I guess it's a study. We haven't really made any decision on it, but we're looking at making all of the dispatch in one place. Mm-hmm. Right now, they're all over. And it's kind of expensive to me, but we got the figures, and we'll pound this out when we get down to it. But, just for operating for the equipment is $50,000, and startup services are $5,000 with an annual recurring cost of $3,000. A software license that will cost the authority $25,000, and a monthly cost of approximately $600. Once it's done and we can find these funds, then we'll have one dispatch, mm-hmm. and that will streamline our operations. And the next thing is we discussed the cancellation of November 16th's meeting, which we did cancel, and our next regular board meeting will be on December 7th. We also discussed that initially, the JPA, or the Five Cities Authorities, met monthly. That was the agreement when it first came on board. We're 2 years into the process. There was also a stipulation that we could go bi-monthly and no less than quarterly. We have agreed to go bi-monthly because the agenda has slowed down considerably. We will start our bi-monthly meetings in February. And with the ability to call special meetings if necessary, we look towards going monthly once again when we get to the assessment part of what we're doing for raising revenue. And the next thing, final thing, is that there is an Emergency Management Institute being held in Maryland in April. It's a disaster exercise, and 75 people from Cambria to Oceano will be participating, and it's a tsunami training event. And initially, the authority applied for a grant that was denied, but after the tsunami in Japan, mm-hmm. they reapplied, and we got the funding. So the county will be represented very well at this training, and it sounds very interesting, the fact that it's the subject matter, but also that fact that it's across the street from Camp David. That sounds pretty good. Okay, Chief Aranis talked about the status of the off-funds vehicles. Funds, that's really not working right now. I guess there was a meeting on the 23rd, but I heard nothing what the outcome of that was. And, of course, we have our reserve firefighters on board. And we did have interviews on October 11th for a new administrative manager, secretary of the board. We had 82 applications for one position. We narrowed it down to nine to interview, and we picked the best two candidates. They will be meeting with the chief in November for a final determination. And finally, the fiscal year 11-12 audit is in the process of being done. It's nearly completed, and we should have a draft of that at the next board meeting. And we also, I don't know now if I should make a report on the special meeting since we're not going with the minutes. I don't know.
Well, that's part of the report.
Have a special meeting, and the special meeting was in regard to establishing a revitalization committee to help steer the county plans. But we decided to change that from a revitalization committee to a committee, establishing a committee that can work directly on the farmers market, since we have an enthusiastic group of people who want to do this, and we have some opportunities that are showing that a farmers market would be very beneficial in this area. I think we could do very well. We do have a meeting scheduled for October 29th here at 6 o'clock for all interested parties who would like to take part in this and come out, express your opinions, get involved. We want to make this happen. Thank you.
Thank you, Filma.
Mm-hmm. What time?
6 o'clock.
And I don't think Tom Gieselin or the 4403's efforts can be ignored in negotiating that
contract.
Right.
It was a great. People worked together very hard. Negotiations are always painstaking, but when you get two sides to agree, and such a beneficial mm-hmm. agreement.
Right.
I'm very pleased, and thank you very much, Tom, for the work that you've done.
My report's next. I attended the Santa. Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. I really do want to thank the staff for getting the MOU over so I was able to read it. On the consolidation of the dispatch, Thelma,
mm-hmm.
It plays out on paper really well, but there are now reports regarding response time. And I read actually an article in the LA Times this weekend on how rural Los Angeles County had gone into an MOU and had done a JPA in a certain part of the county, right? And one of the cities, anyway, the response time went from 6 minutes to 10 minutes
mm-hmm.
because of the dispatch.
Right.
And so I just strongly encourage the committee who's working on that to really investigate the practicality, because it looks good on paper. It really does look good on paper, but is it practical always, and is it practical in this situation?
I think that with the fact that the direction that the JPA has been going since its inception mm-hmm. was to meet the national standards of response time, that anything that restricts that or inhibits that, precludes that, interferes with that, will be rejected, because this is what they're pressing for. We want national standards.
And that's what these other entities were pressing for, too, because that's the bottom line, response time,
right.
Basically.
And that's so life or death right there.
It played out bureaucratically,
right.
You know, but it didn't out in the field.
We will keep that in mind.
Yeah,
because that's our goal.
And I'll try to find you that article.
Thank you. Yeah, that's what we want to do. It's a high priority, not only for the community,
right?
But it's frankly, to me, it's the safety of our firefighters. You know, so I don't think that they're going to put any of that into jeopardy.
Yeah, I'll find you that article. It was really interesting.
Thank you.
I've had the opposite experience with multiple dispatch centers, so I would like to see one dispatch center created. Because with multiple ones, if you get the wrong station, they call CAL FIRE.
Well, see, these
are
the things that are happening right now, and even with that in place, we're still making record time to these to these events and getting the fires suppressed in, you know, a very, very timely fashion.
Yeah.
So I'm very confident that this will not be disrupted by this change if it takes place.
I would like to see it.
Thank you. I attended Sanitation District on November 7th. A couple of interesting things. There was a $30,000 expense approved to fix the cogen machine. And for those of you that don't know what the cogen machine is, that is a machine which is used to extract or capture, not extract, but capture the natural gas that's being released from what goes through the sanitation plant and used to run a generator. That cogen machine has been down for a few weeks at least, if not a couple of months, and it's not working. And so it's going to be $30,000 just to get it working. What we're probably looking at is somewhere closer to $90,000 to actually get it up to where it's it meets what it's supposed to be doing. And so that's about all I can say, because the rest may be closed session. But that is getting repaired, and it is currently down. There was a information attached to the agenda packet for the sanitation district regarding a wage review. Bob Barlogio, the plant superintendent, went through the local sanitation plants and reviewed the wages. Our particular plant pays about 7% less on average, and it's near the bottom of the wage scale for sanitation plants in our county. Additionally, what has happened is there used to be 9 employees there. There are now 6, and so they're doing more with less. If you look at what's happening with the way Bob Barlogio is running the plant, he's doing very well with his particular staff, but a lot of the projects that used to get farmed out are now being done in-house, and Bob Barlogio has saved, I think probably conservatively, a couple $100,000 in the last year or so in handling these projects with him and Trini Rodriguez. And so anyway, so that will be on the agenda to review on the 14th. I think it's appropriate to look at, of course, considering that there's a $1.1 million fine hanging over the sanitation district's head. I think that all things have to be considered, and employee morale is very important. Finally, John Wallace sent an email today asking for our particular board and Grover Beach and Roy Grande to send a letter regarding the appeal in support of the appeal that's being made by the sanitation district. That is not attached to our agenda. I did forward it to Manager Gieslin. Perhaps we can attach it and the board can decide at the same time whether or not the board wants to support the appeal, and if so, how much they want to support it. So that was the sanitation district discussion, and that was all of my committees. So, Director Lucy.
I had a question.
Oh, go ahead, Director White.
Yeah. How are they dealing with the gas that they're not capturing, H2S and stuff they're not capturing now?
You know, that's a good question. I don't know what's happening with that. I'm not familiar.
Are they just venting it to the air? Or?
It could be just venting to the air. I'm not sure.
Okay, thank you.
Director Lucy?
Isn't that administrator's... is the San District's administrator contract up for review?
Yes, the Sanitation District's administrator contract is up for review in November, and the engineering agreement is also up for review in November per the contract that was signed last year. I believe that it's every year in November. That is why I had asked this particular board to weigh in. That's what we were trying to do with that. What was previously scheduled as item 11B was to have the board give me direction on how our community feels about that contract and if we want to support it or look for another avenue, another option. And so hopefully we'll be able to do that on the 14th. I have not seen the sanitation district's agenda yet, but I would assume they're going to probably hear that review on the 7th. Oh, the other thing, too, is Bill Nichols did announce in open session that he expects to be replaced as the Grover Beach representative when the election happens. So.
Well, hopefully you'll get a proclamation and some kind of plaque of appreciation. So then, if we're supposed to look at this tonight, do you think that we should table this for? Because I feel kind of that Oceana took a different approach on the appeals, and so it's not just fly through. We have to discuss it a little bit because we did feel differently about the appeal versus other boards. So
it will be. Well, this is going to be on the agenda for the 14th, our particular agenda, yes.
Okay.
Okay, so this is on for the 14th.
Yeah, this is what we mean to review on the 14th and the input that I'm looking for from our board.
Okay, so what are we reviewing in closed session today?
We haven't gotten there yet. We're not reviewing, excuse me, that was...
Number 11B, I'm sorry.
11B was pulled. So we have 11A
still on. Okay, so we did pull that, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I just want to make sure, because just bundle them,
All right.
Carol Ann, you don't have to send me another copy of this. I'll keep it.
Director Lucy?
I didn't have any meetings this last couple weeks.
Director White?
Yeah, I didn't have any meetings, but last Saturday I got to go to a very exciting event down off of, right around the corner from Halcyon. What is the name of that?
Tierra Nueva.
Well, it's off of Tierra Nueva, but the subdivision is not.
I think it's our solar village.
Anyway, our solar village. An organization based in Atascadero made arrangements to put solar panels with a lot of volunteers onto 7 houses that were built as a county low-cost development. And it's a beautiful development, and they put solar panels on all of these homes, except for one, to cut the costs of electricity. And it was tons of volunteers, and the people who are benefiting from it cooked a very nice Mexican lunch, and... it was extremely nice, and I forgot the piece of paper that has all of who was involved in it. Anyway, I'm sorry, but it was, and our manager was there, and we sure looked at the solar panels and thought about some of the places in Oceana where we could benefit further from solar panels, like the water yard, maybe. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Well, thank you for being there on our behalf.
It was a great community event, actually. Thelma was there, and I was there, and Tom was there. Cacho showed up. Lois Capp showed up. Eric Howell showed up, and there was just Paul Teixeira showed up. That's correct. There were a ton of people from the community that went, and it was really a classy event. It was very well done.
I think that was what was very interesting is that these volunteers. It's a vocational experience too. And all of the volunteers were getting experience in learning how to install solar panels. And each time they volunteer to do something like this, it adds to their resume. And people in our community can apply for these solar panelings. And I encourage anyone, any homeowner that feels like they could qualify for this, to do so. But at the same time, people in the community can also volunteer to learn how to install solar paneling and take this into the future for jobs. And I thought that was very exciting.
It was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a website or something like that where people can go? Because I didn't get the flyer, unfortunately. Well,
even better, you can drive down to the houses and see them right down here off Highway 1.
Yes, there is.
But it was slow.
Yeah.
It was called...
Grid Alternative.
Tom?
What was it called, Carolyn?
Grid Alternative.
Grid Alternatives?
Yes.
Okay. It was called Grid Alternatives, and they're statewide, but they do have a local Atascadero
presence. Carolyn, can I ask you, maybe we could put that on the website under the information side or something? Thank you.
And one of the volunteer teams was all women.
And they had one team.
And those houses are 2.5, almost 2.5 or 3 stories, Tom, tall.
There are two stories.
Yeah.
Each unit was sponsored, had a corporate sponsor, Wells Fargo Bank, Rabobank.
New Frontiers.
New Frontier Market.
Local plumber, I can't remember his name.
Yeah, there's a local plumber. And then the other cool thing was there's people that actually work at the solar fields in Carrizo Plains,
mm-hmm.
and they might be a line worker, but when they do these jobs, they're letting them be the supervisor. So they get on the job training of being a supervisor, and they have all the documentation that they have to follow and everything. So,
right. And I think that
Supervisor Teixeira was the one that instituted bringing this to Oceano, and they currently are focusing on Oceano and Guadalupe,
mm-hmm.
But they're also going to start to penetrate into Grover Beach.
Also, I think that there are maybe 11 homes out there, and all total, I think 9 of the homes have this installation. So it really is a little solar village out there.
Right.
It's really amazing.
The some of the workers they were asking me because they had gone in the day before wasn't and set up. Got staged the area to do the installations, and they said, you know, we love your restaurants, and they were asking about Chacho's and Efren's and the Tapatia, and they were, so they said they loved our restaurants. So when they're going to Guadalupe, they said, where do we eat?
Yeah, most of them came in from other parts of the state, which was very interesting too.
Right.
Yeah, they, it was nice.
Which was cool.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's it for the community reports. I'll just remind everybody, if it's an outside committee and you're billing for it, we do need some sort of a little written report or something to add to the agenda.
Oh, I forgot. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Oh, please.
Oceano Advisory Council is having a special meeting on Tuesday, October 30th, 6:30, business meeting, 7 o'clock program, and the program is going to be presented by the five cities Homeless Coalition about the proposed homeless service center for Oceano. And anybody and everybody interested is invited.
Thank you, Karen. Moving on to item 8, public comment. Is there any public comment for this part of the agenda? I see Ms. Tacker standing up. Good evening again.
Good evening again. And again, I would like to object to the format of your meeting. First things, with regard to 9C, D, and E, these are all expenses. Your general manager is asking you to approve replacement of the district's carpet and flooring. He's asking for a water tank at the water yard. He's asking for a metal well house, or says houses, so maybe multiple well houses. You don't have enough information to buy anything tonight. You don't have a comparison. You don't have a history. You don't have where the money's coming from, what the implications are to the district for these purchases. I know in the past the carpet for this building was discussed many, many times by the previous boards. I remember an approximate $20,000 that had been budgeted. And then, it's funny, Mr. Montemurro is here tonight.
No, it's not.
It is in that he did a budget adjustment and the board approved that $20,000 be used to purchase the Tyler system. So I'd like to know what budget, and really the carpet, since it got cleaned, it looks pretty good. It's still holding up. I don't know that that's a high priority. I still believe there's some roof issues, and that should have a higher priority because if the roof leaks, the carpet gets ruined. Some other things that I'd like to address, your closed session. It was unclear to me whether the public employment contract review of the district engineer was this district's engineer, because I had remembered that you were going to talk about the sanitation district's engineer. If you are going to speak about this district's engineer in closed session, I would recommend that it's time for a new district engineer and that it's time you go out for RFPs and send that message that the Wallace Group is really not welcome in Oceano. The last item I'll touch on is the Langstaff complaint. I was able to read that down at the courthouse. And of the causes of action, there's no mention of pornography. And a great deal of money, whether it was paid for by the insurance company or not, was spent investigating that little, maybe now it's a red herring, sort of a premature investigation, I think. A lot of money went into looking into whether or not there was porn in your district. So I see my time is up. And
just two things, Julie. One is, I'll just announce it now. Wallace did resign and wrote a letter.
Oh.
He's no longer going to be our district engineer. And the second thing was, is if you read the complaint, you'll see that your name is listed as a witness. Do you know why that is?
I didn't even see that.
Didn't have any details.
Okay. I'll have to go back and look. Was that in the actual complaint or some...
It was a page attached to the back.
I'll go look.
So,
okay.
Thank you, Julie.
Uh-huh.
Is there any other public comment this evening?
Not at this time.
All right. Moving on to item 10B. This is the WillServe letter, APN 062-089-006, OCSD project number 6386, owner project Dacey. Staff recommendation of board approval.
I'd like to invite Mr. Dacey to the microphone so he can explain the project to the board and give you a timeline on the start-stop that he's had to go through. So, Mike, if you can.
Good evening. My name is Michael Dacey. The project's at 2031 Beach Street. It's a five-unit development, single-family homes, three bedrooms, two baths, an enclosed garage. It used to be a, I guess we'll be generous and call it a mobile home park in the past. I think if you remember that one, it was pretty famous. And basically, I've been working with the county for a number of years. And I think the WillServe letter is one of the last things, and we'll be able to finish the track map. And then at that point, hopefully within 90 to 120 days, we'll be able to start construction on the first unit, once again, depending on how it makes its way through the county public works and building department. We have done quite a bit of public works improvements, curb, gutter, sidewalk. I also built next door to that a five-unit, and when we do complete these, then basically one-third of that block on that side of the street will be updated, mm-hmm. which I think is pretty good for Beach Street. And you can certainly welcome to go look at the other one, which was, the address is 1997-1999 Beach Street, those five units. I think they came out very nice, and we're looking to have... taking the knowledge we have from those and the experience and doing even a little bit more attractive job on this project. And so I do ask for your WillServe letter. And I do appreciate your help and appreciate Mr. Giesling, who's mm-hmm. been helpful on this, and I'm working my way through it.
Thank you, Mike.
Any questions?
Mike, could you go into detail a little bit on the retention basin that you have to put in underneath and how you're going green on a lot of this stuff?
Okay, we put in a retention basin that's required by the county with the idea being to keep all the water that hits that surface, that whole lot, which is 15,000 square feet, in a worst-case scenario of, you know, the 100-year flood storm or whatever, and to keep it all on site. And as such, we put in... We put in a large quantity of, infiltration devices. And I know on it we surrounded them with rock. And we had over 100,000 pounds, I believe, of rock was installed around the retention basin. It's approximately 7 feet deep. I would say 25 feet wide and probably 50 feet long is the underground retention basin. So, like I say, it collects all the water that falls on the site is directed to it, and basically it does help to retain water on the site rather than taking it and putting it on the gutter, having it go down to the ocean. I think it does help prevent on having salt water intrusion in the area. And I think that's what the county was going for. And to me, it's an expensive, very expensive for the developer. But I think in the end, it's a good price for what you get out of it. We've already installed that. I also installed on that site, I believe it was 100 feet of curb gutter sidewalk. Mm-hmm. And paved part of Beach Street out to approximately probably 40% of the width of Beach Street along the along that site. I had previously done the same thing on the site next door to it, so I said there's I think it comes out around close to 200 linear feet of curb gutter sidewalk we put in on there and such. So, which, you know, obviously Oceano, it's nice when you can get that amount of straight, unbroken curb gutter sidewalk on that.
Did you do the alley as well, Mike?
On the previous one, we did half a block. We paved the alley for half a block. On that one, we were using alley access, and that was the reasoning behind the county requiring that the alley be paved. Is it 19th Street down to 19th? 19th. They required it. On this one, we have all the accesses off Beach Street, and as a result, we didn't pave the alley in that area. It wasn't required by the county. They concentrated more on the work, I think, on the front of the lot, which was Beach Street improvements.
Thank you, Mike. Does anybody have any questions for Mr. Gacy?
Yeah, I'll call you Mr. Gacy because I don't know you, Mr. Lease.
Dacy with a D.
Mr. Dacy, because I don't know you yet, but it appears that everybody else does. I do appreciate your last project. I'm very familiar with that area, as many of us are. And you know the post office is across the street, and you know it's really getting harder and harder to park for the post office. And so having another facility there, you know, I was wondering if you had put any thought into parking.
We have the site. Each unit is required to have two enclosed parking spaces, which is obviously the garage, and we also have on site five additional guest parking spaces.
And these are 3-2 units, right?
Yes, they are.
Okay, so you have two spots dedicated to each three-bedroom, two-bath unit.
Yes, and then one. We'll call it a guest parking place for each unit also is on-site.
Yeah. My concern is the street parking.
Right, you know? I know. So. Everyone seems to have quite a few automobiles.
Yeah. Well, it's Oceano. We like our cars.
That's why I moved here.
Yeah, right. So maybe you could, you know, think about that a little bit, you know, as you're building along. And is it going to be a match to the one you have next door?
Architecturally, it will be fairly close to it. We haven't. I think the colors will be slightly different, but you know, nothing outlandish. And we'll basically try and do a job that blends in, but is still have some distinctiveness to it. I don't want it to be bland. Yes, it will be. The design was actually done by the same architect back then. And,
I can tell.
Yeah, they do have some similarities.
Yeah.
The parking.
It's becoming very common, that theme, actually.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
And in the city, when it's been going on for a little bit longer, you can see what they look like in 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so. And then one more question is that I applaud you for putting in the drainage system. Any of us who live on the corner in this town realize what you have to do in order to develop your corner lots, and this is exactly what we all have to do as individual residents who live on a corner lot. That's why you'll find no curbs, gutters, and sidewalks on any corners, or very few corners, unless they were done by developers. And my last question to you, sir, is your lighting. Did you put in outdoor lighting, or did you consider?
Each residence will have their own individual lighting, and of course with the new energy codes there's a requirement they come on at dusk, and they turn off automatically in the morning at sunrise. Mm-hmm. So there will be those. As far as if you're asking for specific street lightings on there, you know, I've done this one for so long, I really forgot.
Okay,
it's been a number of years since we've been working on that.
So can I ask you to maybe
we can look
modify
at that.
And put in the street lighting? Because we, under our jurisdiction, we are responsible for street lighting. And in the past, many, 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 many developers have gotten away with minimal, if no, lighting. And what you know how important lighting is, and I do appreciate you, you know,
coming off
and going on automatically with daylight. But we do need some sort of lighting, and particularly in that area, the post office is across the street. You know, it's 7:30 now. It's already very, very dark.
We can certainly. A lot of that is controlled by the county, the building department, and we can certainly look at that. And I'm certainly open to. Help doing whatever we can to help out. But some things the building department has, they don't want lights from one residence shining into certain areas of the next residence.
Yeah, we've
residence.
Heard that argument before, too.
Well, it's just, I just follow their directions
right.
of what I do. But we certainly look at doing some... by lighting, are you talking on Beach Street or are you talking on
Correct.
The property itself?
No, I'm talking about Beach Street in front of your proposed plan. The last one didn't have any community lighting, and so I was looking at the plan and I didn't see in the plans, but sometimes, they get modified and we don't get the most current, update. So that's why I'm asking, did you plan on any
I hadn't
lighting.
Really planned on street lighting. I planned on the residences, obviously, having the lighting as required.
Right.
Part of the reasoning being if we put lighting specific to the street, then at that point we have to have an association which is specific to collect the money to pay for the lighting on it. We can't just... There's five residences, and you wouldn't want to have the two units which front on Beach Street, Are they going to pick up the cost of lighting there? Obviously, they're going to light their own.
No, they pay for the lighting. They pay for the electricity. The developer pays for the
I think what Mary's asking is I think the OCSD picks up the electric bill.
Oh,
street right. lighting. Is that right, Tom? Is that way we get those?
No, we pick up the stuff that's in the public area, but in this case, because he's got five units and the county already looked at this, they didn't call out any lighting. Any lighting for it. It's two units up front. You have the maps in your,
mm-hmm.
in your packet,
this, right.
and one in the back, and the county didn't call out for that. We can make a call to them and say what they would specify. There's another group that's also coming out and putting out lights, and this is coordinated through the county, and they're going to use those, obviously the cement ones that we have now, that mm-hmm. we only have like one or two left.
Right.
They're going to those long, the same type of globe, but it'll be on a long green post, which has become the standard for rural. And I'll have to check how that compares to Mr. Dacey's property. But you're talking five units, and the county didn't stipulate it. And the issue with the other project where we do have problems with lighting, they did meet the request on the, which we'll go into when that one comes up, but there was no request from the county on this at this point in time.
And I'm sorry, sir, that the county and the district, the county says go like this, but still lighting is under our jurisdiction, so, unfortunately... you get caught in the crossfires and you're just trying to get your project done. I get that, and it sounds like
a number of years.
I look for social responsibility, and public lighting is so important to us, So maybe you could think about it a little bit more. Maybe you could think about it a little bit more, As residents, as ratepayers in Oceano, we really do take our lighting seriously. We haven't put it on the top of our agenda. It's up there now. And so as a developer who develops in the area, It's a give-and-take situation. Mm-hmm. You know,
oh, I understand.
So if you just please keep it in mind, I'd greatly appreciate it.
Why don't I look at on the front two residences as far as providing some lighting there that will be around the entrance to the driveway, because it has a central driveway. Maybe we can provide some lighting on each side of that, which will help light up the mm-hmm. that area of the street.
Yeah. It's mainly the sidewalk area.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
I understand. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay.
Karen, any questions, Ms. Lisa?
No.
Thelma?
No, thank
all
you.
Right.
Thank you.
There's no further discussion. I'll move to approve the will serve as submitted.
Second.
All right. I have a motion and a second. Is all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
No, but I'm going to abstain.
All right. We have three ayes and one abstention. So motion carries, I believe, by our bylaws 4-0.
I need a break.
And Director Lucy is asking for a break. So at 7:35, why don't we take 5 minutes and we'll come back and we'll have Mike Wilkins give his presentation. Thank you. All right, thank you. It's recall this meeting. It is 7:48 p.m. Oceana Community Service District. Moving on to item number 9A, Oceana Specific Plan presentation by Chuck Stevenson or Mike Wilkin, who will be standing in for him. San Luis Obispo County Planning and Building. Good evening, Mike.
Thank you, Mr. President and members of the board. My name is Mike Wilkin, and I'm with County Planning and Building Department.
Can you move your mic up a little bit? Thank you.
My name is Mike Wilkin. I'm with the County Planning and Building Department. I'm filling in for Chuck Stevenson today. I'm also in the Long Range Planning Division. What I'd like to do tonight is give you an update on the various plans and projects that affect Oceano and the ones that are underway right now also, and to tell you a little bit about them and how they fit together, because there's probably been some questions about how all these things relate to each other and what exactly they do. So I don't have any fancy presentations for you tonight, but I did bring this handout that was distributed. There's some extras up at the front table. I'll be referring to this handout. And what it does is it lists the various plans and projects that affect Oceano and has timelines for them and shows how they relate to each other. And then on the back side is a brief description of each one of those plans and projects that tells you what they do and how they're different from each other. So at the very top, and it's not on this sheet, is the plan that is kind of the on top of the hierarchy of plans that would affect Oceano and the county, and that's the county general plan. So and that county general plan is like the constitution for the county as far as land use and transportation and various other things. And it consists of what we call elements. An element is like a part. And so the land use element and circulation or transportation element are two key ones that are represented here. And so that first tier on the top of the chart here is the land use element of the county general plan. And the local coastal program for that part of Oceano that's in the coastal zone, because the community split. And then together with that is something called the San Luis Bay Area Plan, and it's a part of the land use element.
Okay.
And there's a part of that that deals with Oceano and has standards and programs for Oceano. And that is adopted. Then underneath you'll see a tier that says the Oceano Specific Plan. And that is adopted. It was adopted by the Board of Supervisors in 2002, and it was also certified by the California Coastal Commission. So that is in effect. And it is part of the land use element and the local coastal program mm-hmm. of the county general plan. It has goals and a vision for the community. It has concept plans for the downtown and for Pier Avenue. It has design guidelines, it has standards, programs, and strategies all to implement the specific plans, goals, and concepts. And the specific plan is used together with the area plan that I mentioned. So both of those together are key documents for the future of Oceano and for reviewing development proposals, for example. I should say that the Oceano-specific plan does cover the entire community just about. I think Halcyon is actually not officially a part of the specific plan, but it covers most of the, almost all the community.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is in effect. Now, there's three plans below that, or studies, actually, that are underway. And the one that's listed first is the Oceano Revitalization Plan. I'm sure you've heard about that and are interested in that. There's been quite a bit of community interest in that. It doesn't cover the whole community. It's more focused. And it's focused on some certain things. For example, pedestrian access and streetscapes and bike paths and making the community more walkable. But it's focused on a smaller area than the whole community, as you know, along Front Street and the areas around the downtown. And part of that plan is also intended to encourage some revitalization of downtown businesses, so there will be some strategies in that revitalization plan. The idea with that is it takes the specific plan and the concept plans in the specific plan down to a greater level of detail. And so it's kind of the next step before you can actually get to building certain improvements. So the idea is the plans that will be prepared with the revitalization plan will be in greater detail, and they'll have cost estimates associated with them, so then we can use those to apply for grant money to actually do construction plans and then actually build the improvements that you're waiting to see.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we intend to do with that with the revitalization plan. And if you look on the front of the handout, you can see the timeline, and a draft plan is due out next month, and then that'll be available for public review. It's being prepared by consultants to the county.
And I think they're actually presenting that, or going to have a meeting on November 8th, the Thursday.
That sounds right, yes. So it's coming up pretty soon.
Where will that be?
Right here. I think it's at 6 or 6:30.
I'm not sure of the time.
We'll find out.
Okay.
Thank you, Mike. I'm sorry. I don't mean to interrupt.
Yeah, and then so that'll be available for public review, and then there'll be a final plan prepared after that, and it'll be presented to the Board of Supervisors. So by spring, and maybe before, it should be presented. The final plan should be presented to the Board of Supervisors. And then you can see on the chart the next arrow is to a box that says possible grants to actually design and construct the improvements that are in that revitalization plan. So that's a key thing that's happening. There's two other programs or studies that are underway as well. Some of you may have attended a workshop. I know a couple of you did a couple of weeks ago down in the Woodlands, and that was on the subject was those bottom two studies. One's called the Complete Community Survey, and what that is a it's actually more than a survey. It's a study of infrastructure needs in several communities, not just Oceano. It's also looking at Napomo and in the North County, San Miguel and Templeton. And it's identifying infrastructure needs, and not just the major infrastructure like water and sewer and roads, but other kinds of things that help make communities more livable, like sidewalks and parks and plazas and other public facilities and amenities. So that study is looking at what's needed in the future at 2020 and 2035, how much all those facilities will cost, and then strategies to actually pay for them. And that study's underway right now. And we've actually had some preliminary parts of that study released for public review. If you go to the county's, our planning department's website, you'll actually see a couple of studies that have already been released. There's a background report and there's an inventory report And then the next step is actually a funding and financing strategy. And then the final is, we call it a community profile. It puts everything together for each community. And so that will have a lot of good information. It'll be useful for the county. Hopefully it'll be useful for the district as you plan and budget for public facilities. It's also, the information in that will be useful to the revitalization plan as well. That plan's running a little bit ahead of the complete community survey, but there's information that will be available that they can use in that plan. And that's why you see the arrow there between the funding plan and profiles going up to the final corridor plan. That's why there's that connection there. Let's see. And then we have the infill development standards study. And this is also a study that's looking at the four communities I mentioned, plus Los Osos. And this study is intended to identify changes that we can make in county regulations to make it easier for people to do what we call infill development, a development on vacant or underutilized land within communities, and development that fits in with existing neighborhoods, and development, for example, mixed-use development, where you have commercial and residential uses combined, multifamily use, multifamily development. So this is really about how can we change our regulations to facilitate that kind of development that is of high quality and that fits in with existing neighborhoods. And it does also look at building design issues, which is something that the revitalization plan really doesn't focus on. Revitalization plan looks more at your transportation-related improvements and making pedestrian-friendly and so forth. Downtown and neighborhoods. This is looking at regulations and design kind of issues for infill development. And so this project is underway also.
Can I ask you,
yeah,
sir, when will the recommendations be coming out for the infill development?
We're looking at having some draft standards by spring of next year. That's the if you look on the bottom of the chart, it's the third bullet, the third circle or oval from the left. That's the draft.
So they're
standards.
Saying in a year.
Spring
of 2013.
Next spring, next.
So next
public
next areas. Spring.
Fall 2013.
Yeah, but, I mean,
right. So by the end of next year, that study should be complete, and it will have recommendations. The outcome recommendations for changes in plans and ordinances, and that will be the outcome eventually. The Board of Supervisors, the Planning Commission first, and then the Board of Supervisors would actually be considering changes to, for example, the land use ordinance, and perhaps area plans or even specific plans like the Oceano specific plan, possibly. So I guess if I could have drawn an arrow back up to the top to the specific plan and the land use element to complete the connection there, but I didn't want to make it too complicated. But so that infill standards project could ultimately result in changes to plans and regulations to make it, like I said, easier for the high quality infill development. So that is another project that's, or study that's underway that's affecting Oceano and other communities. So those are the main, really the main things that are underway right now, and that's kind of how they fit together. And you can read more about them on this description on the back, and you can also go to our Planning Department's website. If you go to the homepage, there's a a link called, I think, a Sustainable Community Grant Projects, because actually these are all being paid for by grants. Right. If you go to the Sustainable Community Grant Projects page, it'll have further descriptions of these studies that are underway, actually numbers 3 and 4 specifically, and you can actually go to the documents that are available for each of those studies. The infill development standards has a background report that's available. The complete communities has 2 reports that are available. Those are both online.
Okay.
And I believe we have some information about the Oceano Revitalization Plan on our website. I'm not sure how extensive that is, though. But that draft plan is going to be coming out November 8th. So
that's our date.
That gives you an overview. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
I have 2 questions, please. Is this a pushback on the date, spring of 2013? I thought it was going to be a little bit sooner than that.
On the infill standards?
No, on the Oceano Revitalization.
Oh, I was a little bit generous because with the time, I didn't know when the scheduling might be able to occur for the Board of Supervisors, but it's definitely possible that in early 2013 there could be a final plan to look at. So I've left a little more time between when the final plan is released and when the Board of Supervisors actually considers it. So that's why I said spring. It could be earlier.
Okay. And secondly, it is the county's intention to pursue these grants for these projects?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Mary.
Go ahead, Karen. I'll go to Karen.
The first question is, is there any way we have had input onto this? But I'm looking at the infill development standards and the challenges that Oceano has with curbs, gutters, and sidewalks, especially in corner lots. And is there any possible way that some kind of changes could be made, or some way that there was a scheme that we could get these curbs, gutters, and sidewalks done? Because they're so prohibitive in costs, and that's linked to the county because the county does them. I was wondering if there was any way they could be reduced in cost.
I don't know about the cost, but the complete community survey is looking at sidewalk needs in Oceano and what the gaps are, how much it's going to cost, and it will suggest ways to accomplish filling those gaps. I don't know about the costs, if they can be reduced or not. Well, I think it's important to the community, obviously, to have sidewalks and walkable neighborhoods. It's difficult, you know, that they do cost, and it's difficult. Hopefully, the complete community survey will suggest some strategies. Maybe it'll have some creative ideas for how to put those in. As you know, normally they're put in when new development occurs, and the development's responsible for the sidewalk, curb gutter, and sidewalk along the frontage. And as you stated, if you're on a corner lot, you've got more, and it's as higher cost. And we took your comments that you made at the workshop to the consultant, and so for the complete community survey, so they have those comments and they're aware of them. But I don't have an answer for you tonight as to, you know, whether costs can be reduced for individuals.
Because that's developing the barrier, you know. And the other thing is, when we were working on the complete community survey, and it's my failure that I had not gone back and read the Oceano specific plan, but many of the questions that we were asked that night about design, downtown design and stuff, is contained in the specific plan, has already been done. And it's kind of like you were asking us to do stuff that was done 10 years ago and is still very valid, having read it through now. And I just don't know why some of those studies didn't refer to that directly. Is it because you want that updated?
Well, it could be updated. I think we wanted to find out if the community still has any different views today than they did before. But you're right. The specific plan does have guidelines, design guidelines, and those might be just fine. So I think we were trying to see if the consultant wanted to see if the community had any different views or if there were any additional things the community wanted.
Yeah.
The focus, besides design, is going to be on regulations, how to facilitate doing this kind of high-quality development. Anyway, we did hear some things at the workshop in the south for the South County that the consultant will be going back and they'll be proposing some standards that will come out, spring 2013. But, it's a good point. There's design guidelines already in the specific plan.
Yeah.
And maybe that's good enough for the community.
Well, it seemed rather complete.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. It's a good
Thank
point.
You.
I was one of the two people that actually got word at the infill study. And so Karen and I were able to attend. And I'm going to go back to the curbs, gutters, and sidewalks again for a moment because... beyond cost being a prohibitive thing, you know, is that it's a policy that's prohibiting people from developing their corners as well, and it's the county's policies that are making it prohibitive. Take, for example, I live on a corner lot. My lot is 50 by 140, not a large lot, typical Oceano resident lot, right? It would cost me $72,000 to do curbs, gutters, and sidewalks just so I could put in a two-car garage. I just want to put in a two-car garage, but it's going to cost me $72,000 in engineering. And that estimate was done 9 years ago. So I'm sure it's much higher than that because the policies of the county require me to change, just as the gentleman who had the PUD and put in the huge drainage basin in the middle of his project. Whoever breaks ground first on the corners, they have to pay for all that engineering of the street and replacing all those lines and everything. And that's the part about policy prohibiting that kind of development. And I think that you might be able to have an impact on looking at those policies that are blocking that development that you'd like to see go forward. People on corners should be required to do the same thing that other people in town do, and that's your frontage you're responsible for. But why would you be responsible for the 140 feet on the side street? But that's a county policy. So that's what we were trying to point out. Secondly is that I kind of felt a little bit like two people are not representative of 6,700 or 7,600 people, and I know I can't speak for that many people, and I certainly don't carry the knowledge that many people carry, right? And so I would strongly ask you, encourage you, to have another planning meeting or a community meet in the Oceano area so people can attend. It was a little difficult to find, but, you know, we were able to bust out our GPS trackers and go to town. Also, too, is that the maps that we had to work with were incomplete. You know, the materials, the tools that we had to work with. And so Karen and I kind of felt like at a loss because it had cut Oceano off. And so I would ask that maybe if you could consider talking to others and maybe just giving Oceano one more shot and come to Oceano and maybe, you know, we can sit down and go through the plan again. I know, I don't know if that was the intent or buy-off was the intent or however it was, but I felt that just two of us was just, you know, wasn't representative enough, to be honest. And then, and thirdly, I would, you know, particularly in the planning department, it seems like there's a disconnect between Oceano and the planning department, and if maybe you might want to consider, you know, some ways of maybe a liaison or some connect, because we are part of the county. We are an unincorporated part of the county. We fall under the restrictions and guidelines of the county, and we'd like to have a good relationship with the county. And the planning department and the county, I mean, and the community, there's somewhat of a disconnect. So maybe you could think about that a little bit. I'm not expecting, you know, immediate action or anything, but just a little thought to it.
Okay, I'll take that back. And as far as the workshop goes, yeah, you're right. Two people certainly aren't representative of the community. However, we did send out community surveys, and we got a lot of responses, so that's also valuable input. Mm-hmm. You probably received one.
No.
No, we
didn't.
I think we sent them out with the bills.
No. My wife pays the water bill.
I'm on auto pay.
And they were in the website. You guys, we did this in cooperation with the county.
I got one.
I'll look through the webpage.
Well,
I'm sure you did everything possible.
we did really try to get the word out, both on the surveys that we did several months ago and on the workshop. We really tried to get the word out on that.
Yeah.
But I'll take back the request to do something more in Oceano. Certainly, there'll be more opportunities for public comment when there's two more studies or parts of the study that are coming out, and with each of those, there's opportunities to make comments on. And in addition, there'll be a presentation to the Board of Supervisors, and there'll be additional comments opportunity there to make comments. So there's still plenty of opportunity for public participation in the process. And then finally, you mentioned the problem with making improvements to your property because of the curb gutter and sidewalk requirements, and maybe that's something the consultant can look at. I believe, and I'm not an expert on this, but I believe the way it works is that if your improvements exceed a certain threshold,
200 square feet,
then it's based on square footage. Okay, I thought it was improvement value or something like that.
Two bathroom sizes.
Then you're required to
200 square feet
to do the improvements. So that's maybe something that could be looked at as changing or increasing that threshold before the curb gutter and sidewalk requirements kick in. That's a possibility.
I don't think people are opposed to doing the frontage. It's just the $80,000 mm-hmm. without the buildings, you know. So,
okay.
But you guys can study it and let us know.
Okay.
One more thing.
Go ahead, Karen.
Please don't forget our desperate need for parks in the downtown section of Oceano. I know there's parks at the beach, but you can't let your kids cross Highway 1 and the railroad track. Downtown needs soccer fields. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Mike.
Okay, you're welcome.
Very much. I'm encouraged by seeing all this information, and there's a timeline something might happen. I'm hopeful.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad. Hopefully this helps.
I'm going to be looking at your website tonight.
Could I
go ahead.
I want to apologize to the board for snapping out at that, but I would like to remind you that we sent the surveys out in the water bills, and we had several stacks of them because we get a lot of walk-in traffic, and the girls spent a lot of time convincing citizens to fill them out, and then we personally forwarded them up to Mr. Wilkins and his deal. So this was the original kickoff of the revitalization, and this board and this community participated, and we worked in conjunction with the county to make it happen. So they did get that information, and it did get processed.
Thank you, Tom. Go ahead, Tom.
In your experience and going throughout the county to the unincorporated areas and working on these plans, can you tell me what the local population, what we can do to help this move forward? Are there particular groups or how do you, representing the county, not only get our input as a community, but how do we help you implement and process this through?
I would say just stay involved and you know, keep following the process and keep pushing us to, you know, follow through and the Board of Supervisors to actually take the next steps to you know, follow it and support it. That's really, I would think, the best thing.
Okay. Do we do that by going to the meetings, writing letters, looking at the website?
All of that, yeah.
Anything else you suggest, Mike?
Yeah, I can't think of anything else offhand, but if I do, I'll let you know, because we're interested in seeing this move ahead. As you know, there's been a lot of plans done for Oceano, and finally, I think we're getting closer to actually being able to do something, and so that's what we'd like to see as well.
You need feet on the ground, is what I'm saying. You need people here.
High heels or boots?
Yes.
Is the case, maybe.
High heels on the ground.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because we're glad to help.
Okay.
Thank you.
Appreciate that.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mike.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Is your phone number on here? That's okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I got your card.
You got the word first?
There are some phone numbers. Perhaps you could leave some cards with Carol Ann, and we'll... Thank you, Mike. That was encouraging.
I really appreciate you putting the contacts under each one of these.
Good.
Wise men. Whoever, they were smart.
All those people, so
okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Moving on to item number 9C, repair of OCS district carpet and flooring. Staff recommendation is for approval. Manager Gieslin?
I don't have any report.
Pardon?
I don't have any report.
Okay.
So I don't want to cause any Brown Act violations or not let the public be aware of it, so I don't have a report. I don't have a report for the next three.
The two would be the purchase of the tank water yard and metal well houses for water yard.
Right. I have handouts, but it's unacceptable, so I'm not going to submit.
Are you suggesting we take those till the 14th of November then? Why don't we table that until the 11:14? So items 9C, D, and E will go to 11:14. Moving on to utility items, we'll serve letter APN 062-097-012, OCSD project number 6450, owner project Old Avocado Ranch. This was item 10A, and we did have a letter on that. Tom?
The property meets all the specs with fire and Oceano Community Service District. They did put the light in the gazebo.
They did?
And they are running the lighting for the they're going to put indirect lighting in the park when they get the backside finished, but they did put the light in the gazebo. So I'm recommending approval.
I made four site visits over there at different times during the day. The gazebo is lit up nicely. The gazebo. The two of the neighbors stopped me that are on the right side of the neighborhood, and the gentleman on the corner, he, you know, I asked him about the lighting, and you know, and he said that when the light was taken out by the developer, he went to the developer and said, "Sir, you can put that light in my front yard so we can continue lighting on
Basin Street.
Basin Street. So he's right on the corner there, and it's one of the older homes. It's not in the new. And so I was thinking about trying to get a hold of the developer and see if he would be willing, since the gentleman is willing to give up his front yard for that light. It is predominantly elder residents in the area. And as I walk down further and across the street, two women stopped me because the guy on the corner yelled to them, "Hey, talk to her." And they, too, asked me if it's at all possible that the light that was taken out.
Is it possible we could get these people to put that in writing so we could talk with the developer
about
that?
Yeah, I could go back over there. They have no problems with it. Okay. Yeah, they're very, very kind. It wasn't confrontational at all. You know, they just said, I even offered to the land and have the light in my front yard if there wasn't room on the public sidewalk. You know, it is important to us. And they mentioned as they got older, you know, that it became more and more important. So if we could just try to maybe retrieve that light that was taken out back, you know, I would be even willing to help pay for an electrician to put it back into the area. But the gazebo is definitely lit up nicely. The other streets are unfortunately extremely dark. And so, but I did do 4 site visits over there at different times of the day.
Karen or Thelma?
Nothing.
Karen?
Nothing. I mean, this is, isn't this kind of routine because it's another house in a subdivision that's...
Same developer.
Yeah.
Mr. O'Connor.
I move we approve a will serve and fee letter APN 062-097-012-CSDPROJ number 6450, owner project Old Avocado Ranch, single family residence.
There's a motion. There's a second.
Sure, I'll second.
Director Hurdle, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
No, I'll support it because he lit up the gazebo.
Okay. Motion carries 4-0.
He agreed to do that.
Moving on to closed session items. First one is closed session A, public employee contract review, government code section 54957B. District engineer contract, as we previously mentioned, Mr. Wallace did write a letter. Item number 11C, closed session conference with legal counsel, existing litigation, pursuant to government code section 54956.9A from Stephen Langstaff, wrongful termination. It is 8:24 p.m., and we'll go back into closed session. Session to 9:09 p.m. As to item number 11A, public employee contract review. Chase, do you want to summarize that? I made some notes about it, but I can't read my own writing. I apologize.
I'll do the best I can. I think that the actions are as follows. The board elected not to continue Mr. Wallace's contract. He had resigned anyway. The next thing the board decided was to submit and send out an RFP for a new district engineer. And the procedure for doing that will be determined at either the next meeting or at a later date. Director Lucy and I will work together in terms of laying out a process for that. Mr. Gieslin will look into the potential of using a consultant to assist us in drafting the RFP. If there's any specialized language or requirements for that in that regard. That's it.
All right. On to item 11C. That was the closed session conference with legal counsel regarding the Stephen Langstaff wrongful termination lawsuit that the district was served with last week. That will be tendered to our insurance carrier. We do have coverage. And for them to choose a lawyer. Moving on to item number 12, board member comments. We'll start at the end of the table. Director White, do you have any comments this evening?
No.
Excuse me. None, thank you.
All right. Vice President Lucy, do you have any comments this evening? And I don't either. And item number 13, late received written communications. Manager Gieslin, is there anything?
I received a request for, it came after last board meeting, a request from South County Sanitary to do a rate increase, and I agreed to go in with our sister agencies to have Bill Statler do the report, and I just received the report this afternoon. going over the rate increase, and I will present that at the next board meeting.
We also received their communication about a letter of support for the appeal.
Yeah, but you had already previously discussed that. Right. And then...
Is that me, the 218?
I think that's it.
All right.
I mean, I'm sure I'm forgetting something because I get hit with stuff every day. I take that back. I did receive... we have a ratepayer that has his own well, and he... This dispute has been going on since 2000, maybe farther. And I received a request from a mediation company in San Luis Obispo. This gentleman wishes to take it to mediation.
Is this the one where we had to take it?
It's on Grell Lane, so okay. you have to recuse. But I've just putting all that together, and like I said, I got the information, and I'm going to have a discussion with the mediation company and decide which way to go.
Okay. Future agenda item.
We do have, on October 19th, after the agenda had already been posted, I did get this letter from Michael Seitz, counsel for the Sanitation District, requesting that our board support theirs and their decision to appeal the penalty and the fine. It's a three-page letter. There's several facts that he mentions that came out during the hearings. But he does ask for the board to write a letter, so it's something that I think needs to have some consensus and be put up for action at the next meeting.
I agree.
Could we get a copy of that letter?
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you, Chase. One more time. Future agenda items. I don't have any future agenda items other than that we've already discussed. Mary?
No.
No. Other than the ones we've already discussed.
I have none. Thank you.
Item number 15, public comment. Jennifer, any public comment this evening? You're the last man standing, so to speak. Jennifer shakes her head no. Item number 16, is there a motion to adjourn?
I move that we adjourn.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
It's 9:14 p.m. Good night, everybody.